Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And the season started. It's great. We're going to start off the show today by saying that the league needs to find a way to change up the visiting teams for the home opener. I don't know. It was exciting versus the Habs. It was because obviously with COVID and the fans back in the building, it was totally awesome experience that way. But I don't know. We're always playing the Habs or the Sens. Like, give us the Oilers or the Bruins or something different, basically. That's how I feel.
I agree 100%, especially considering we were stuck with just Montreal and Ottawa for the preseason games. It just didn't feel like, you know, it was special being there and with the home opener and everything, but it could have been more exciting because it just kind of felt like more of the preseason for me.
I don't know, get a U.S. team in there, sort of like,
yeah,
in
mix
here.
It up a bit.
But anyhow, that's my opening thought on that. And but on the positive side, last night we finally got the win versus the Sens, even though it wasn't the decisive win that I'm so wanting to see. It was a good win. Helped bring some positivity back to the fan base, because the fan base seems to be a little bit stressed out about the Leafs after only a couple of games. And we're only three games into the season when we're recording this podcast, because it's Sunday today, after the Saturday night win versus the Sens. But there's lots of time for the guys to get together. So Leafs Nation, just take a breath.
Yeah, it's a long 82-game schedule, and we just realized that this season will be our first full regular season of doing the podcast, because COVID basically came in halfway through our first year. So, yeah, this is the first time that we're going to actually be recording a full season, and we have some really exciting updates coming.
Yeah, so that means lots of work with 82 games, but that's okay, because we love it. If you haven't checked out our social media recently on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our handle is at LTL1917. And check it out, because you'll see our video clip in front of Maple Leaf Gardens, which will give you some info on the updates that are coming. So, yeah, it's exciting. We're excited.
Yeah, so we have some good things coming for you down the pike, and we can't wait to share these new things with you. So now, before we get into the show, we want to apologize to the fans for us putting out there that maybe they might be changing the goal song. Apparently, that was just a bit of a tease, because they're still rolling with the Hall & Oates, so it might be with us for a while. So, sorry, guys. Sorry that we got you a little bit excited there, but looks like we're sticking with the Hall & Oates for now.
Yeah, and I noticed this because I saw the Sabres, I guess, they're going with... I saw it on Twitter that the players are choosing their songs, their goal songs.
Which is what we want.
Which is what we want. And I thought it was the league that kind of mandated the, like, how the league, or like how the music is done at all the arenas, sort of thing. Like, I just thought it was some sort of, like, the entertainment is kind of controlled by the NHL. Obviously, if the Sabres are doing this...
Yeah, then why can't we do it?
Why can't we do it?
Totally. That's just another way for players to showcase their personalities. I guess they could put some stipulations, you know, like no songs laden with F-bombs and stuff like that if they want.
Yeah.
But like, it would be really cool, because they already have their playlists, which I think we've mentioned, like on Spotify and Apple.
Yeah.
A lot of the players have their own, and there's team-specific ones. I don't know why they can't do that, because it's just another way to showcase the players and their personalities and the music they like. I love that.
Today too, they just announced that they're going to be able to dress business casual.
Yeah.
Is how Austin Matthews said. So they don't have to wear, I guess, the suit. So I don't know, maybe Willie will get his wish there, where he's going to be wearing the, I don't know what those pants that Justin Bieber
that exclusive thing, the clothing line or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they look like pajamas to me, but.
Well, they're sweats.
Or they're sweats. Yeah. So I guess maybe that's business casual. I don't know. But anyways, they're allowing that. So why?
They're business because they live in sweats. So,
yeah. But
anyway, yeah. So we're going to get into the show now. But before we do that, we just want to put it out there again that if you ever have any questions or comments about the Leafs or want to give us your thoughts that we could share on the show, definitely go ahead and DM us on social media or email us at ladiestalkinleafs@gmail.com and we may share your comment on the show. So it is the regular season, and with that, we're going to be getting back to our usual podcast format that we rolled out last year. So just as a refresher, we're going to be talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly, where Chris and I each pick one from each category and discuss what we think went right or wrong with our Leafs. And then we're going to get into the Ladies Talkin' Leafs highlight reel, where we choose our top three moments of the last 2 week segment and discuss. And we end off with a segment called The Third Period, which is kind of like a grab bag of different things that we want to talk about, which could have to do with hockey in general, the league, or any other topic that we kind of want to throw out there. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs. Right, the good, the bad, the ugly. This is good going back to our regular formatting, I think. But so let's start. I'll start off with the good. So I'm choosing Rasmus Sandin. Mm-hmm. So he's actually, I was debating. I didn't want to go. Everybody's been like saying, I guess that he's going to be like the replacement for Morgan Rielly, like right away after three games. But I mean, I'm not going to go that far yet. He probably will be eventually.
But I mean, it's going to be his first full NHL season. And anyhow, right now he's over the three games, like, I guess just the passing, like he's so confident with the puck, he's making it look so easy. And he has two assists in the first three games. And but I mean, he's averaged just under 17 minutes in the first three games. And I guess when you compare him with Rielly, I guess, like, I can see the comparisons, the offensive comparisons, but I mean, like, Rielly, obviously he plays against better players in the lineup, right? Because Sandin is in the bottom pair, D pair, but Rielly plays on the PP. He plays PK minutes now, and he's basically playing over 22 minutes a night. So
yeah,
I don't know,
he's got a long way to go to fill those boots.
The
still.
Extra eight minutes, mm-hmm. and against the competition too, the different competition. Now right. I'm hoping. I mean, if they do think that, definitely Sandin is going to be the next Rielly, let's say, for next season, that I'm hoping over this season that they gradually increase either and change his partner too. Like, he should mm-hmm. play with Muzzin, basically. He should at least be on the second pairing anyways, if he's going to do that. But so far, I mean, he's been impressive, considering he looks like he's like calm out there. And I actually think he's making Dermott look good too, sort of like he's mainly the driver of that pairing. I don't know. I mean, I'm still looking for more for Dermott. I mean, not that he's been bad, but
no,
but the focus here is Sandin. Yeah.
Yeah. But I would say that, yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. For a young guy, he's so poised and nothing really seems to rattle him. And he seems to be like one thing that I find he does kind of have on Rielly is he is really mobile along that blue line, especially when you see him on the power play. He can get shots through like he's just really good at finding those holes and getting that puck down in there for a scoring opportunity. So he's been really impressive, and I haven't seen like too many, you know, big mistakes or gaffes or anything like that. So kid is definitely got the chops to play in the league for sure.
Yeah, and like you're saying, I think I did read somewhere with his shot attempts. I don't know if he's the highest on the Leafs D. He's the shot attempts are definitely high for the, like for him. So that's good too. Eventually they're going to they'll go in for him too, and he'll get some goals as well. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good. Yeah. So who's your good?
Okay, so my good that I'm going with is the person that I looked to at the beginning when we were just, you know, giving our predictions to really be the person that kind of carries us through while we were waiting for AM34 to come back, and that is William Nylander. And okay, so he's already scored, but they're using him in a whole lot of other ways. Like he's getting penalty killing minutes, his 200-foot game seems to be much better. But the thing that I've noticed the most about him is his demeanor. Like he has got an intensity this year that I haven't seen from him before. And he has been over three games right now, I would say, very consistent in his play. Like we have seen moments in the past where you get a good night from Willie and then the next day it's that flyby Willie. This year so far, like knock on wood, it's early, of course, but I see like a real, like he looks like he is on a mission and he has really carried over his play from the playoffs last year. He seems to be one of the only ones that has done that. So I am looking forward to seeing what he will do over the course of 82 games.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's definitely been the best player, hands down, like over the three games, the start. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like you said, when we went to that blue and white game, we said he was like the captain out there, right?
Yeah, so he seems so different out there right now. Like he's just seems to be taking it. Yeah. Way more seriously. So I'm happy to see that and looking forward to what he will do over the course of the regular season. So let's move on to the bad. So Chris, what is your choice for bad?
Okay, so I have to say though, I did actually choose Kerfoot to begin with, but then apparently on my way home last night from the game, apparently Sheldon Keefe had a chat with him, and that's basically what during in the morning skate yesterday before the Sens game. So that apparently turned him around. So that so he played really well last night. He had a good game.
Yeah.
So
he must have taken that
bad
to heart.
Yeah, exactly. He's not the bad. The bad is the injuries, basically. Have to say, I look back just to see where our opening night lineups came in from Syl and I when we put them in our last episode. And we were close, but then we had Ilya Mikheyev a lot in there in our, like, to give him the opportunities even on the top line. But yeah, so now Mikheyev obviously is injured with the wrist, or no, sorry, it was the thumb, broken thumb. Mm-hmm. And he had to have surgery on that. And that's just horrible for him. It's crappy. Everyone has said how he gets going and then he gets an injury. But anyhow, and then obviously Matthews, but he's coming back now. So hopefully that'll be good. I was thinking that they wouldn't start him versus the Rangers. I thought that they would kind of give him the week because then there's no game until Friday night. But I guess they decided
wants to get in there now that he's ready.
Yeah, I guess.
And then he does have those days to rest up.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. And then obviously the injury to Mrazek, which is not the greatest, but he to start off with our goaltending situation.
Yeah.
And because he played really well in the game on Thursday night in Ottawa. And but he's out for, they said, 14 days with the groin injury. So yeah, that's my bad, basically. I just
it does really suck. And like in the last 2 years for injuries up until in a way, I guess the fact that if we're getting them out of the way early, that's better than it happening in the playoffs like it has in the past 2 years. But the unfortunate thing is that at the beginning of the season, like in the last 2 years, we've been fairly healthy over the course of both of them, even though they have both been shortened season, granted. But the whole cap situation is the real killer there, which we obviously saw with the having to bring up the emergency backup, right? Yeah. And And the whole thing is that at the beginning of the season, because they manage the cap on a daily basis when they're so tight like this, the beginning of the season is where they're hoping they're going to accrue some savings. And yeah. when you've got these injuries like that, like it's really hard to do. So
yeah. It's funny though, because it's even
unfortunate.
Keith said last night that Colorado actually was down a skater yesterday for same reason. So it's not just us.
No, it's not just right. it's not just us. And also Vegas last year, I think they had 5 games where they were like that. So
yeah,
it's all comes down to the fact that
it's Gary
the COVID well, it's that
he screwed us over.
It's the fact that you know, if you're a cap team, you're going to be massaging this daily, and no one saw the COVID situation coming, and that it really derailed plans of all these teams that projected that they would have more space, you know? So it is what it is. You know, there's lots of arguments either way that, you know, to either change things or, you know, that teams that are having trouble managing it, you know, they get what they paid for kind of thing. But yeah, it kind of sucks, but hopefully it'll be.
The cap is also bad. Let's just say that too.
Yeah.
Injuries are bad and the cap
bad
is bad.
Bad cap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't like
it. And what's your bad?
My bad is Pierre Engvall. Now, after the first game, when he played so well, I was like, oh, he's like actually maybe turning things around. But as usual, that is fleeting. And he has come back the next 2 games with his usual, I don't know. He's just so inconsistent. So like dumb penalties, giveaways. He just can't string together multiple games in a row where he's
I don't know.
Giving his, I don't know if it's that he's not giving his all or whatever, but it's like he's really light in a way that you need to light a fire under him. Or you used to have to for Nylander too, but it seems like he's getting it together this year. But Engvall, I don't know. Like it, I don't know. I'd like
to
see him put together.
Back.
He's.
I don't know why he goes back in his own zone a lot. That's one thing that's messed up. Like when he gets the puck and at the neutral zone, and sometimes when he travels back, he is a good skater, but he travels back and he tries to look for a play, but it's like, don't go back, go towards the O zone sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Don't go back into your own. Cause then it ends up being, you end up having like losing the puck or whatever.
And then
happens.
It turns into a scoring
like a turnover,
opportunity
basically.
Like it did last night. So
yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely, I don't know. I'm hoping he turns it around. Well, I don't know. Maybe. Am I hoping? Do I care?
Maybe you're like Sheldon Keefe. I don't think he has much hope.
I'm very indifferent about Engvall. But the sad thing is he's got wheels and he can put it in the net when he puts his mind to it. So he's just got to get a little smarter in his game. So let's move on to the ugly. And I think we are both in agreement on this one. Would we like to point out is the ugliness so far in this first 3 games.
Yeah. So it's pretty consistent even in other games. It's the refs, basically.
Yeah. And I think this made our ugly last year.
Yes, it did.
Also.
Yeah. And I mean, I know, again, it's the start of the season, so whatever. They have to
They're still learning what to call.
But I mean, those two hooking calls in Ottawa, the one on JT, and JT never says anything, but that was... like not hook, like it wasn't even close to even practically touching the guy to lift the stick, but they called it hooking. And I just don't that. And then the cross-checking penalties that they're, I'm hoping to see once Matthews comes back now that, like to see how it is on him. Like we were talking about last night that, like he takes a beating around the net because he's always there, right? So it'll be interesting to see how many calls that he draws. I mean, basically,
he should draw more because this is the thing that in like for example in the NBA you can't even get close to a star. Like even if you put your little pinky finger on them, they go to the line for free throws. So why is it that you can basically beat up a star player in our league and get away with it? So yeah, he should be the beneficiary of some penalty calls.
And in case anyone's interested out there, I've learned I think we both learned, actually, there is a referee's crease right in front of the penalty box. We were so.
I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this already know that, but that was something that we weren't like really that keyed in on.
Yeah, we didn't know that. We were reading some rules from that they put out for the Seattle Kraken fans being the new team in the league, and we were just scrolling through some of the details that they're passing on to their fans, and there's a referee's crease. Woohoo! Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyhow, for now, they're ugly. They just need, the refs need to pick it up and learn the rule and apply it correctly the way it's supposed to, not by just like touching a player around.
Yeah, I do really think that they're just finding their game also, because I mean, even there was that one penalty they called last night where it seemed like forever that it took for them to call it. And yeah, normally there's not that kind of delay. And I was just like, it just felt really weird because it felt like it took a really long time for them to like blow the whistle and call it. So
yeah,
anyway, so basically we're going to move on to some positivity now, and we're going to roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel for the first time this season. Woohoo!
Yay.
So let's start with number three. Chris, what you got?
Well, I got the guy from Scarborough. Yes, Michael Bunting. Mm-hmm. He's quickly becoming a fan favorite. That's for sure. Favorite of mine too. Quickly. He even got, I noticed Darcy Tucker gave him the thumbs up last night and on Twitter.
Well, that must have been a thrill for him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, but proud Scarborough boy, and scored his first goal with the Leafs versus the Sens at home. And I just loved his first goal celebration, the way he just went up against the glass. And then his comment also after the game, I'm just going to read it here. He said, "I'm pretty much speechless" when it comes to scoring his first goal as a Leaf. "It was a pretty cool experience to look up and see all those Maple Leaf jerseys in the crowd and cheering, and they're cheering for me." Mm-hmm. "For a kid growing up from Scarborough, it's a dream come true." Like, yeah, how
that
could you not?
That actually gave me chills.
How can you not?
I read it too, but listening to you read it, it just gave me a little bit of chills up my spine.
How can you not love that?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, no, it's like totally amazing and so deserved. And we were talking last night about how, you know, we need more guys on our team that have swagger. And like, obviously, AM34 has swagger. And this guy seems to also have that in spades. So I'm like really impressed with what he's been bringing, and he's just a hard worker and he never takes a shift off so far that I've seen. So I'm like really impressed. All right. So for number two, I have Jack Campbell, and I'm really impressed with how he's come out, especially considering he now has to carry the torch again for a while. He's only allowed two goals in seven periods.
Not seven goals. No.
Yes. He's only allowed two goals in seven periods, which is pretty amazing. And he seems to be carrying forward, what he did last season so far. So yeah. I'm, really, really stoked about what he can offer. And I'm just hopeful that he manages to stay healthy, for as long as possible, so Mraza can come back in and spare him some games.
What I was going to say. As long as he stays healthy, and Campbell is 19-3-2 over his past 24 regular season starts. So that's a pretty
amazing
record.
That's not too shabby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just noticed over the three games so far, like he's made the big save when needed.
Yeah.
Like he's always been there, and so that's really all you can ask. And then just a quick note about Alex Bishop, who was the UFT student last night.
I watched his post game. Yeah. It was
Did
so
you see
cute,
it?
Actually.
Oh, my God. He had to back up Jack Campbell because of the cap issues that we talked about in the intro. And I don't know, being a Leaf fan, I can't imagine how surreal a feeling that must have been for him to actually 100%. Be in the locker room.
Yeah.
And being on the bench. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah, and having people take shots on you, like,
and that, yeah.
Even if he didn't get in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool. And just to see, and his parents were there last night too. So that was really cool. But but kudos to Jack Campbell.
Absolutely.
Keep going, Soupy.
Yeah.
Number one on our highlight reel. Me and Scylla are very happy about this, being back at Scotiabank Arena, and a lot of fans are too, to actually see a game live with like 19,000 fans. Some people were a little bit nervous there at the game on the home opener. It looked sold out, but it wasn't sold out. There was a few empty seats. And the noise factor, like a lot of people were saying, like it's the usual thing down there with the corporate crowd and that. But I mean, it could have been louder, but we have to say that it is a little bit difficult to scream with a mask on and like all night, right? Like to cheer.
Darn sure.
We did our best ourselves. Yes, there were times like after the national anthem, normally I find it normally a little bit louder. And then last night I was a little bit surprised, being a Saturday night, that there was a lot of empty seats last night for a Saturday night game. But I guess people are still the nervous, obviously the price of the tickets too, that sort of thing, if you can't afford it with the it was just great to see a game. And we encourage everyone, if you can get to a game, like go. You don't have to be concerned. All the precautions are there and are being taken. And
I would say, like, I've seen other games, you know, from, you know, games in the States where no one's wearing masks. That's not the case at Scotiabank Arena. I'd say the majority of people are wearing masks unless they're eating or drinking something. So, so far, so good, I guess. You know, I guess it's going to be a little while to see how it all shakes out. But all the checks and balances seem to be there right now. And I was surprised at how quickly I got comfortable. It was just like riding a bike, really, once you're back in there.
When we've been doing it for 29 years now, so we're pretty good at it. So being back in the arena was great. And now with the U.S. border opening, it's even more going to be even more fun because we can at least think about going on road trip possibilities. So for our next segment, the third period, we're going to be talking about road trips this time.
So it's another segment of On the Road with Chris and Syl. So we're going to talk about a couple of different destinations and the dates that you can see these games an away city. So I'm going to discuss Tampa, since I've had the pleasure of seeing a game at Amalie Arena. This is a favorite destination for Canadians, and you can normally tell by the schedule that we normally have games down there on March break. This year, it's actually a little different. We play on April 4th and April 21st. So these could be really important games also. So if you're looking for a game for a road trip that has high stakes, this could be a really good game to go to.
Being later in the season.
So obviously it's in Tampa, where the games are. The area where the arena is, it's sort of like a business area. It's actually, there's restaurants and stuff around. You have to walk a little ways. The best thing, or the highlight, I guess, is they have like a really awesome statue of Dave Andrechuk, which obviously we know there's Leaf ties there from when they won the Stanley Cup with him. And they have their own kind of Maple Leaf Square type area around where people can tailgate, congregate before and after the game. They have a big screen out there. They usually have some food trucks and stuff in that general vicinity as well. But there's maybe two or three blocks down the road, there's a whole area where there's restaurants and stuff. We ate at a place that is, I can't remember what it's called now, but it is like a kind of a bowling alley restaurant. So it's a diner within this bowling alley. It was kind of a cool place. So there's stuff in and around the area. And of course, you've got the Florida Sun, and you can, if you want to, or do some Disney stuff or Universal Studios or whatever you want down there, because
definitely
none of those things are far away.
Definitely there's lots of extracurricular
to do.
or you can relax
add on
the beach.
To your game. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I definitely wouldn't mind going there. And you could do the two of them, basically, too. You could go down to Miami or and do the Panthers game. But all right. So I'm picking St. Louis. St. Louis is a different kind of. It's a nice city. So the Leafs are there this season on Saturday night, January 15th. It is kind of risky going in that time period because of the weather. They do get a bit of the snow there, being in the Midwest. But it's a very easy city to drive. I would suggest you can stay on the outskirts and just drive in to the city, or stay downtown close to the rink. It's called Enterprise Center. So around the rink, there's a lot to do. Like, it's very central. It's right downtown. So there's a lot of restaurants there. Unfortunately, the time I was there, the Leafs weren't playing. It was Anaheim. So I didn't go to the game because I didn't feel like seeing Anaheim and St. Louis. But everywhere in that city, the Blues were like, they're definitely a popular sports team there. And now that they've obviously they've won the cup since then, so it's even more so a popular, they have their Gloria song, which is kind of a cute thing that they have. But so lots of things to see there: the Gateway Arch, Route 66, the Main Street of America, and some history too, which I didn't know when I went there, with Jesse James, basically hid in these caves called the Miramec Caverns. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of interesting to see there. So I actually do want to go there. Hopefully Syl and I will get there. We did investigate once to go there and check out a game, because it is very easy, and they have good malls there too, sort of thing. And
yes, for us ladies, you gotta have some shopping
to do
in the trip somewhere.
So if I don't know, January, like I said, travel there might be a little bit, but but those are a couple of places we thought we'd highlight for this edition of On the Road with Chris and Syl. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to look to the upcoming games for the Leafs in the next couple of weeks. So tomorrow night, obviously, it's Austin's debut, so that's exciting, versus the Rangers. And then they're going to be going on the road for a little bit. Friday night they play the Sharks, but then starting Saturday night, they're going to be on the road visiting the Pens, the Hurricanes, and the Hawks before coming home again to play the Wings and Vegas on November 2nd.
Obviously the big game in that bunch that you mentioned will be versus the Canes, playing Freddie for the first time.
Yeah.
What are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's going to be pretty emotional for Freddie. I don't know. He's just, it's fun. He's 2-0, actually. They won again yesterday with the Hurricanes. He was in net for both. But it's funny, when we lost to the Senators on Thursday, I tweeted out I wasn't going to say anything. And it was funny. It was during the second period anyways, just before Mrazek got injured. And I assume one of the tweets that came back to me from saying that I wasn't going to say anything or tweet anything. One of the tweets that came back was saying that, just say it, it's Freddie. And I'm like, the reason why I didn't want to say anything is because the goals that Mrazek let in, basically, they were all bad bounces, basically. You couldn't blame the guy. He played really well in the two periods that he was there. But if it was Freddie in there, guaranteed 100%, all of hockey Twitter would have said it was Freddie's fault.
Yeah.
Right. So I bad bounce or not, it was Freddie's fault because he was all over the place or whatever sort of thing. So that was just my point that I didn't want to say on Twitter.
but you're saying it on here on our podcast.
I'm saying it on here. I have to protect Freddie, and I'm looking forward to it anyways to see. I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how Austin shoots the puck at him.
But yeah, they won't be sitting. I wonder, are they going to do their normal thing where they're on their one knee at center ice together now? Because normally they would do that together in their own end. you know, during the warm-ups. But maybe they'll kind of get together at center ice and have their little pregame chat.
That's true, too.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I just don't want them to do any kind of storm surge that night versus us. Meanwhile, I don't know, like, do you think Freddie really likes that? It seems kind of not like a thing that he would like to do. It's sort of a little, anyway.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see tomorrow night who Austin will be. Like, if Austin will just do the little, like, down on one knee thing with Jack Campbell now, like, if it's just going to, or if he's going to find, or if he's going to find something new to, like, to have a chat with somebody else or anything.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to, I'm sure he'll have a new pregame warm-up routine. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be busy for Jack Campbell. And with Matthews returning on Monday night, our next episode is going to be very interesting and exciting. That's for sure. We expect it to Austin to be his usual self and score goals.
That's right.
Yeah. So, so before we go, we want to announce the winner of our anniversary contest.
Yay. So congratulations to Lauren Stewart, who won a fantastic prize that includes Maple Leaf swag items and a Tim Hortons gift card. Lauren started to listen to our podcast when we first started in 2019. So thank you so much for that, Lauren. We really appreciate it. And her favorite Leafs player growing up, were Doug Gilmore, Felix Potvin, and Matt Sundin.
Yeah, that's no questions there, or no problem with those three choices. But so Lauren is a longtime Leaf fan, and she has the tradition of watching Leaf games with her dad at his home every Saturday night, which a lot of fans out there, I'm sure they do that as well. So that's great to keep that tradition going. So congratulations again, Lauren, and we hope you enjoy the prize pack. We're sure you will. And next time when we have our contest, be sure to enter to our listens there to have a chance to win a good prize. But if you have any thoughts on what we talked about on this show, please DM us on social media or email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and be sure to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917.
And another way to connect with us is at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can also support our show by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
As always, thank you to our healthcare workers for everything that they do. And thank you for listening. And please follow or subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite app.
So stay safe and well, everybody. And we'll be back in a couple weeks. And we'll be talking about the return of Austin Matthews. Go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!